I'm only kind of really interested in just hearing your you know, your general memories really of what it was like working with various censor people, because I know you were involved in at least three books, I can tell.
I think it was actually my then colleague Rob Shreve who set up the contract with the centre. I think we had something like a 3 or 5 book deal with them.
Okay.
To publish the working papers on an annual basis. And Rob, I think, then left to go to Macmillan. So I became their contact person. And it was very interesting working with them when they were in their collective mode.
Yeah.
Was quite challenging because I would go up to Birmingham and they would sort of all sitting round the table, that the, you know, whoever was the graduate students at the time, plus usually Richard and Michael.
Right.
You know, it was a little kind of not lofty exactly, but he kind of removed himself from the fray quite often.
Okay.
And I definitely had the impression that they felt that working with the publisher was a kind of necessary evil, and that we were, you know, part of the sort of evil capitalist hierarchy, and
right.
Rather not really engaged with us. But then on the other hand, it was good for their relationship with the university, and it was also going to bring them some money. So those kind of collective meetings, as I remember them, were fairly daunting. But then actually working with individuals on the individual collections was not like that at all, and was actually extremely enjoyable, because I think we did put into the contract that we wanted just sort of one contact for each book.
Yeah.
Trying to deal with the collective. And so, you know, they're, as individuals, they were all, you know, lovely and came across quite differently. But I do remember still my sort of feeling of slight panic as I got on the train to Birmingham because one of these collective meetings.
Had you ever encountered that way of working previously or subsequently, you know, that kind of collective approach to intellectual work?
Yes, actually, I worked with, and I'm going to struggle to remember their names, a collective of, a feminist collective, and we published a series with them, and that was very similar, actually, but as a collective, they were fairly daunting and, not to say, aggressive in meetings. But then individually, they would be, you know, much more human. I think it may be something which happens when people who have very strong political beliefs get together as a group. That comes across in their dealings with publishers.
And what kind of challenges as an editor did that way of working present to you?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up a little bit.
Sorry, I was just wondering what kind of challenges that way of working presented to you as an editor.
Well, it meant that sometimes decisions took quite a long time, because even if you were working with one person as the representative of the group, obviously they needed to go and consult with the group as a whole. So, but I mean that wasn't necessarily a problem at all. I mean, I think a lot of problems would arise over things like covers, which were obviously exceptionally important to the group, and were equally important for us. And we often had very different views about, you know, what would be a good cover for a book. So that would take some negotiating. But it was really, I think, a question of just being sort of patient and trying to explain what our reasons were, and they would try and explain what their reasons were, and we would usually reach a compromise.
Right. And as a publisher, what was the attraction of the centre's work? I mean, what was appealing about producing, you know, these collections of jointly authored?
Because they were doing exceptionally interesting and innovative work, and I think that's what has always attracted me and of course many other academic publishers to the Civil Centre's work, but also to other kinds of innovative academic work. It's nothing to do with having a particular political slant. You just want to make sure that you are representing the best of the stuff of whatever is going on.
And do you have any kind of, do you have any memories of the way the work was received when, you know, when it first went to press? I mean, did it do well? Did this series do well for Hutchinson?
Yes, it did. I mean, we were incredibly pleased to have those books on the list. And in fact, in various forms, I think, that they are still available. Because I had this rather funny experience that when I left Hutchinson, I went to in Hyman, and I was in there for a year. But then I met and started to Routledge. Routledge bought in Hyman. So if I didn't say that very well. When I went to in Hyman, it was because they bought the academic list of Hutchinson.
Okay.
And then when I'd gone to Routledge, after I'd been there a year, they in turn bought the academic list of in Hyman. So basically, every book I'd ever worked on is now with Routledge.
Right.
And, you know, we've kept those books in print in various forms. I think they're available as very expensive paperbacks and hardbacks still now. And that, so apart from them doing well in their own right, I think it's also attracted other authors, and it meant that we had a sort of wonderful pool of extremely good people coming to us via those particular books. So many of the people who worked on collected papers or the individual books that they became, we went on to publish books by them as individuals. So people like Bill Schwartz, Mary Langman,
yeah.
Frank Mort, Paul Gilroy, John Clark, those are just a few. So it was an incredibly productive relationship overall.
Mm. And just finally, Claire, I was going to ask about how your kind of reflections on the way the publishing industry and the relationship with academic work has changed since those times. I mean, do you think that there's a space now in your industry or in kind of the way that universities now operate? Is there a space for the kind of works that Hutchinson were producing with the centre in the late 70s and 1980s? Yeah, how has the industry changed? Has the industry changed?
The industry changed in those aspects, but I think that what's really noticeably changed is the opportunity to do that kind of work within universities. It seems to me that those opportunities have narrowed down very significantly with all this sort of extraordinary pressures that people now have in terms of things like the rec. And the demand on them to be productive in very specific ways, people being directed, you can't do this kind of book, you must do that kind of book, you must do this kind of journal article, you must try publishing these kinds of journals. So that seems to have really clamped down on that kind of exciting, innovative approach to working.
And do you think that's a bad thing in general for the relationship between publishers and the universities?
Bad thing for
the relationship between publishers and universities?
Well, I think publishers respond, academic publishers have to respond to whatever is going on in universities. So, there's still plenty of exciting work going on and things to publish. It's just different to how it was then.
Great. Well,